Good morning. Welcome to Village Baptist Church. We're so happy that you could join us today and to those that are worshiping online with us. We're going to start this morning by taking a few moments to greet our friends and neighbors around us. You can do a wave, a hug, a handshake, whatever you're most comfortable with, and we'll take a few moments just to catch up and wish everyone a good morning before we come back together to sing the chorus of Sweet, Sweet Spirit, and we'll go from there. Right, we have a number of announcements this morning. The Worship and Music Commission has a meeting Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. on Zoom. There is going to be a special business meeting following worship today, a very important one. We're going to be voting on the interim pastor and also the pastoral search committee. So if you are able to, please make sure to attend that special business meeting. The Village Voice deadline is this Wednesday, so if you are writing a piece for The Voice, please make sure to have that submitted by Wednesday. And Kathleen is going to speak about the Summer Missions Project, so I will give her the mic.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I want you to look at this backpack here. This is a completely filled backpack. The Missions Commission decided this summer to do a project that would be closer to home and in line with our beloved community initiative. So we called the principals at the two closest elementary schools, Pointer Ridge and Northview, and asked them if they might need backpacks and school supplies. Those principals were only too happy to partner with Village for this project. So we set a goal of 50 backpacks. Now, as you can see out there in the Northex, there's only three backpacks out there, and this one here. We have three more Sundays to fill backpacks. The August 6th is going to be our deadline, and then on the 15th of August, we're going to take them over to the schools. Right now, Walmart is having a big sale on all their school supplies, so you can get a backpack and school supplies there for about $50. It takes only a few minutes to find the items and fill the backpack and bring it in. Imagine the smile on a child's face when they receive a brand new backpack and all the supplies that will help them to be successful in this school year. Village has always been a generous and loving community, and I would ask you to consider prayerfully filling a backpack and bringing it in for our Summer Missions Project. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen. So we do these safety reminders periodically. It's also my chance to vicariously live as an air traffic controller. So just remember, there are doors at the front of the sanctuary as well as the back, or I guess it's front and back from where you're sitting. thank you, Anita. If you want to get on the mailing list for Village activities, go ahead and contact Dave and Carlin. If you have not memorized their email address by now, it's t.patch72@gmail.com. And we are very lucky today to welcome our guest speaker, Reverend Kelly Rhodes Adams. Kelly is a native of Southern Pines, North Carolina. She currently resides in Middleburg, Virginia, with her husband Trey and their five-year-old son, Court. She earned her BS in accounting from Meredith College and a Master of Divinity from Campbell University Divinity School. and she served in university, missions, and congregational contexts, including serving 6 years as an associate pastor of Edenton Baptist Church in Edenton, North Carolina. Her vocational joy has come most recently from working with Lilly Endowment Grants that help resource clergy and congregations, and from co-authoring CBF's Sacred Spaces Innovative Places resource. As the new director of the Clergy Support Ecosystem with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, most of Kelly's work is focused on clergy thriving and includes the extensive peer learning group network and CBF Fellows, which is for ministers early in their first full-time call. So we are very, very happy to have you with us today, Kelly. This is the day the Lord has made.
Power. Please stand and join me as we sing.
Good morning, Village.
Good morning.
I am Rhonda Hamby and the deacon for July. Before Reverend Adams comes and lifts up our pastoral prayer, I would like to ask for sharing of the concerns and joys from the church. So it's your turn. Okay, so in all of my anxious of serving you all very well, I forgot to say the part where we mute the people. I'm sure Dave took care of that. But now we will bring those worshiping online back in with us, and ask Reverend Adams to come and pray.
Good morning. It's good to be with you all. Our prayer requests this morning are many and varied, so let us go to God in prayer together. God of salvation, who sent your Son to seek out and save what is lost, hear our prayers on behalf of those who are lost in our day, who are ailing, who ask for prayer for others. Receive these petitions and thanksgivings with your unending compassion. We offer now our silent prayers for community, for this congregation, and for our world. Redeeming Sustainer, having heard these prayers, visit your people and pour out your strength and courage upon us, that we may hurry to make you welcome, not only in our concern for others, but by serving them generously and faithfully in your name. Amen.
Good morning.
scoot over. How's everybody this morning? Good? I brought a friend with me today, and he has nothing to do with the story, but my nephew sent him to me, so I have to have my picture taken with him. So whenever you get a chance. Well, we all know that Pastor Emily is no longer with us, correct? Do you know what happens now? What happens now is that we're going to have a search committee. It's a group of people from the church who are going to search for a new pastor for us. It's a long and arduous job, but I bet they'll come up with someone great. But in the meantime, I was thinking, what can we do to help? What do you think we could do to help? Well, put your hands together. Go ahead. Well, we could gather people to come and attend church still, couldn't we? That would be a great idea. Well, we could pray. You could pray any time during the day, any time at night, you know. Pray that we find a good pastor that will support our church. But you know, do you think God answers our prayers? I do too. I think he would answer our prayer that we get a great pastor. I think he would. I think so too. There's a song that tells this story better than I can, and we're going to listen to it in just a minute. And I thank to Dave and Carlin for getting it together to get on the screen today. They had a little bit of a time. So I'd like to ask you children, and all you out there, this is a short story, if you would commit yourselves to praying that our search committee does the arduous job of finding just the right pastor for Village. Someone who knows our needs and would love to be here. So would you all commit to that? Yeah? Okay, I think that's great. Because when we do that, blessings can fill us if we stay faithful to the one who knows us the best. I have something for you. You don't need to take it and open it yet, but I'd like you to sit and listen to the song. And then, are they staying here?
Every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. fade into one hair of man.
Nothing like following such a beautiful, professionally done piece of music.
And I'm sorry we don't have a video either. From the mountains, there's a story to be told. In the crashing of the ocean, there's a power that no man will ever hold. All the stars in the heavens decorate your handiwork, and like a mighty choir, they've come to celebrate your work.
Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the praise. All creation is singing to the honor of your name. Don't let me miss the wonder. Don't let me miss the grand design and the lightning and the thunder. Lord, open up my eyes. Don't let me miss the glory. In the cry of a baby, in the laughter of love, in the praise of the faithful, you will find the greatness of our God above. In the prayer of the righteous, in the beauty of your grace, in a brand new morning's mercy, all your memories of my sin have been erased. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the praise. All creation is singing to the honor of your name. Don't let me miss the wonder. Don't let me miss the grand design and the lightning and the thunder. Lord, open up my eyes. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the praise. All creation is singing to the honor of your name. Don't let me miss the wonder. Don't let me miss the grand design and the lightning and the thunder. Lord, open up my eyes. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the glory.
Our scripture today is from Matthew 13:1-9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought them forth again, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears hear, listen." The second part is Matthew 13:18-23. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May God add his blessing to this, his holy word.
How good it is to be with you all this fine July morning, even though there's a little liquid sunshine outside today. I think we needed the rain in Middleburg. I don't know about you all. I'm grateful for the invitation to fill this pulpit and appreciate all of your hospitality this morning. I felt your hospitality even in emails that were exchanged this week, so thank you. And thank you, Rhonda, for reading our gospel text, this parable of the sower, or the parable of the four soils, or the parable of the miraculous harvest. Would you pray with me? Gracious and generous God, may your Spirit enable us to hear and understand your word today and move us to action as we contemplate and comprehend where we find ourselves in this passage. Amen. It was mentioned in my biographical information earlier that I worked 6 years as the associate pastor in Edenton Baptist Church. That's in Edenton, North Carolina. Has anyone ever heard of Edenton, or even better, been there maybe? Anybody? Okay. Dubbed the South's prettiest small town at some point by someone, it is a picturesque town on the Albemarle Sound, about as far east in North Carolina as you can get before you get to the Outer Banks. Edenton sits in the smallest geographical county in the state, too. Despite its small size, there is something special about that place. I've been gone there for 8 years now, but I always miss Edenton most in the summer. Not because of the little collegiate baseball team that provides great small-town entertainment a few nights a week, though that was always fun. And not because of the waterfront that glistens in a magical way at sunset, instantly making you feel serene, even though you've seen it 100 times before. No, I think what I miss most, especially this time of year, is the farm fresh produce that is so abundant. Edenton, this tiny town in a tiny county, is home to farming operations. These folks send food to some of our favorite grocers. You wouldn't believe the green beans. Oh, the watermelons and cantaloupe taste like candy. They have the best tomatoes to slice for a BLT and the sweetest sweet corn you'll ever gnaw off a cob. Don't worry, I'm gonna get you to lunch shortly, I promise. Chowan County farmers know what they're doing. They've been doing it for generations, many of them. And I'm grateful that I'm now related to some of them by marriage. They're hardworking, generous, kind folks, and they have their farming down to a science. I learned a lot about it sitting in their living room, seeing those farms up close, and working with them one summer on a community garden. I don't have much of a green thumb, so that was an experience. I learned how to space certain plants and when they're ready to be picked, and just how much water and tending those vegetables really do need. My husband, Ever the science teacher, also likes to have a summer garden, as maybe some of you do. That's something he gets from his own dad. He takes great pride from growing his own tomatoes and cukes and spends a considerable amount of time on that garden, making sure the soil is prepared and we're growing things that get along. What we know of American farming is all about precision and science and, of course, the weather. And it's exactly the opposite of what we see in today's parable told by Jesus. In today's passage, we see a farmer who's gone out to sow the seed. The pH of the soil has not been tested. The weeds and roots have not been cleared. There hasn't even been any plowing done. My Edenton farmers would be disappointed. In ancient farming, though, the seed was spread and then the field was plowed, so this method wouldn't have seemed quite as far off to Jesus' hearers as it might to us today. One commentator on this passage tells us that Jesus was giving his hearers his own personal assessment of the public response to his ministry. It is, interestingly enough, sandwiched between two stories of opposition to his gospel. In chapters 11 and 12, we find multiple accounts of those who misunderstood or rejected Jesus' teachings. And in chapter 13, it concludes with his own hometown rejecting him. So his assessment was not romanticized. Jesus knew that not every person would have a favorable response to loving our neighbor as ourselves, turning the other cheek, embracing persons on the margins, and taking up our crosses and following him. It's safe to say the outlook on religion in America hasn't been romanticized lately either. Some would say our situation is dire, and yet here we are. I've seen so many expressions of churches, people, Christianity alive and well in my time at Sanford University resourcing churches and now in my 4 short months with CBF. And I'm grateful today to say I can add another one to the list. A host of preachers will spend their time in the pulpit this morning asking worshipers to consider what kind of soil they are, which is not a bad question to ask ourselves. But I believe that asking that of folks who are sitting in the pews faithfully and seeking to be united in a time when division often wins the day, or at least the airwaves, is one of the best examples of preaching to the choir I can think of. Jesus was being a realist in this passage, so maybe for just a few minutes today, we can try being realist too. Knowing that our efforts as individuals and a church will not all lead to acceptance of the gospel. But this parable raises questions we can consider about the gospel this morning. Questions that have more to do, I think, with the seed than the soil. The first question we could ask is, how generous are we with our sowing? Verse 3 says, a sower went out to sow. It would seem they were indiscriminate in their attempt to spread the seed because it went all over the place. If we remember that the farmer sowed first and then plowed, then his or her job was to get that seed scattered and not worry about the types of soil. The landscape is what it is. The farmer knows there are all those different types of soil on their land, but if the farmer is too measured while scattering that seed, Some of the soil that could foster growth might be missed. This passage makes me wonder if we're too reserved sometimes with our sowing, concerned with only scattering the good news on good soil so we can feel some level of personal success. Maybe some of us have bought into the lie that our culture is at worst full of thorns that choke out what life the gospel might offer, and at best rocky and shallow, so we save our time and energy for the people and places that look, quote unquote, good. Have you ever heard of a volunteer crop? It's the plant that pops up where you didn't plant it on purpose. Maybe where some seed was dropped or spilled, and it flourishes anyway. James Howell, the pastor of Myers Park United Methodist in Charlotte, says that volunteer squash from his garden were some of the best producing squash he's ever had. Almost as if that seed had some hidden power to overcome the obstacles of the soil conditions. Howell says this, "Then Jesus lures us to be like this sower, flinging it around everywhere, trying any and everything. So what if stuff doesn't work? It's always been that way. But then you get volunteer squash people where you least expect it." Howell concludes saying, "And you've embodied as a church what the grace which founded the church is like. Not measured or plunked on the likely ones, but strewn all over the place. Lives are changed, churches are changed, our world is changed when we are willing to be reckless and indiscriminate about spreading the good news. The sower isn't measured, scientific, safe. The sower sets out to scatter as much good news as possible to yield a tremendous harvest." And that brings us to our next question. What do we consider a miraculous harvest? 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, these were the yields from the parable Jesus told of the seed that fell on good soil. Ephesians 3 says, "God will indeed do abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine." We believe that, right? So what would be a miraculous harvest for Village Baptist? Is it a percentage of growth and membership? A particular number of individuals or families who join the church? Do you have a target for your average Sunday attendance or your youth group? Maybe it hasn't been explicitly stated, but all who love the church and believe unswervingly in the gospel want to see it grow and multiply. We pray for revival and renewal. So just how do we measure abundance? I'll share a secret with you, and it's not a big secret. I'm becoming less and less a fan of that word, abundance. Primarily because I believe it's been misused by prosperity gospel preachers who are manipulating it in ways that are doing more harm than good. To me, they're among the thorns that we read about today that choke out the seeds of faith. Abundance no longer has the connotation it once did for me. And as she tends to do, Brené Brown has caused me to reframe it a bit in my own heart and mind. She reminds us that the opposite of scarcity isn't abundance, like we might think. It's sufficiency. It's enough. And it's caused me to wonder if perhaps in God's economy, sufficiency is abundance. Would we read this passage any differently if it said that that seed produced twice what it was supposed to? Or if it said 1.5 times? What if our passage today just read, "The farmer scattered all of that seed, a lot of it, in places it wasn't supposed to grow, and still got a harvest that was enough to feed the village"? Would we consider that any less miraculous? When the good news of Jesus' gospel is sown in our world, the miracle of God's sufficiency is that there is always more than enough love, grace, compassion, and yes, even those material resources to go around. Maybe that yield can't be measured like we might like, but we will certainly see evidence of it. The truth is, though, a miraculous harvest will be difficult and generous sowing will be wasted effort without good seed. So it's also worth pondering today what seed we're actually scattering in the world. What is the good news we think we are sowing? Is it good news to everyone? If our good news, our seed that's supposed to yield a great harvest through the work of the Spirit, is only good news to folk who meet a certain set of criteria, then the soil matters not. Scattering good news that is good to everyone, it means our hands might get dirty, and there are days our energy will be drained, and we'll wonder if we're doing it right, and there will be times that good news will be rejected. But that kind of good news is worth the mess and exhaustion, the doubt. It's even worth our own exclusion because of who we include. That is the good news that brings the renewal of the church, the big C church, the universal church, and the little C church, our local congregations. That good news reflects a kingdom, and when it's cultivated, yields a harvest of beloved community. That will bring us closer to looking like the sower Jesus told about, who just sowed the seeds and trusted they would yield. Village Baptist friends, in farming and in faith, the sower's job is to sow. The yield isn't entirely up to us, and in faith at least, that's the way it really should be. We can trust that our efforts will be met with God's sufficiency. But we must remember, if it's not good news to the Bowie State student and the folks in line at the food pantry and the students who get those backpacks you all are so generously donating, if it's not good news to the refugees at the Welcome House in Raleigh who are loved by Mark and Kim Wyatt, and the asylum seekers with whom Elket Rodriguez ministers at the U.S.-Mexico border, and the Japanese and internationals with whom Laura and Carson Fushi work in Japan. If it's not good news to all these folks and the ones who fill our pews each Sunday, then maybe we need to go back to our scriptures and take a deeper look at what is good news for all. We need seed that can overcome the obstacles of the soil if we want volunteer squash people. We can start with the Romans passage that accompanies our gospel text today in the lectionary. It's the opening of chapter 8, and Paul begins with this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. May the gospel we sow in the world tell of this reckless love of God, free of condemnation. And may we sow it with reckless abandon each and every day. Thanks be to God that there is always more than enough of that good news to go around. Amen.
Please stand and join me as we sing "Open My Eyes."
Open my eyes, then I see. Glimpses in the dark.
like everyone to remember that we have a, please be seated, that we have a business meeting following almost immediately after the service. There are some snacks back there. Thank you, Reverend Kelly, for coming and sharing the word with us today. It was great. If you'd like to do the benediction, we'll walk to the back so you can greet people. Thank you.
It's been a joy to be with you all here, and I will be in prayer for your church as you continue through this time of change and transition. But now hear this benediction from Ephesians 3. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.